Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, The Shoes of the Christian Soldier. And I want to ask, are you wearing this very special piece of armor God's given for you to fight with? And do you know what it's for?
Grace to you, and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord, the Savior, the champion of our souls, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Today, we're continuing our sermon series on fighting the good fight of the faith as good soldiers of Christ. And this is a sermon series on spiritual warfare. We've been looking at the spiritual divine armor and weaponry that God gives to us Christians, in which he fits us out, that we may be well equipped and walk and march onward through this hostile world to our heavenly country above. And so far, we've looked in the last couple of weeks at the belt of truth that we are to wear and at the breastplate of righteousness. We looked at that one last week. Today, I'd like to look with you at the next one, which Paul describes for us in Ephesians chapter 6. Continue beginning verse 10. He says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we are not contending against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, verse 15, and having shod your feet with the equipment of the gospel of peace." This is the one we're talking about today. What goes on our feet? The equipment of the gospel of peace. What goes on to a Christian's feet? Now, admittedly, to begin with, I just want to say that feet are really not the most honored parts of our body, are they? I'd like for you to have a little interaction with me here. How many know, say, a book or maybe a country song or a famous romantic, top 10 on the radio song about feet or about your lover's feet? You do? All right. Blow me out of the water here. What is it? Feet were made for walking. Okay. Excuse me, I'm going to get my pen out and write on here not to do this again. No. But, right, good. But really, feet really don't get much of the glory, do they? I mean, when you hear country songs, you pretty much hear about the glories of the lover's eyes, the hair, the hands, the face. They all get the glory. But feet are really not often talked about. But what I think we need to understand here is feet are vitally important to us, and God wants soldiers to be clothed on their feet. For, as the saying goes, where would you be really in life without your feet? Answer, right where you is, and on the ground. Because what do feet do for you? Feet enable you to be able to stand and to be able to move to where you want to go. And so we're going to talk today about how God clothes our feet as Christian soldiers, marching as to war, as we just sang a few moments ago. Now, when we think about what we're going to wear on our feet as Christians, we've got to remember that Paul is writing here about Roman soldiers and taking that imagery and applying it to you as a Christian soldier, right? He is in prison. He is probably even chained to a Roman soldier while he's writing this letter. So he can look over the breastplate. He can look over the belt that he wears and all the other equipment that he has. But he looks down to the feet and he says, as the Roman soldier is clothed with this sandal upon his feet, so every Christian soldier is clothed on his feet with the equipment of the gospel of peace. So I'd like to talk with you today about what this actually means, how do we put it on, and what God's calling us to in this, as this part of your suit of clothing as a warrior for your king in heaven. Well, let's take a look to start out at a Roman soldier's shoe. Now, we think of military today having combat boots. They didn't have anything, obviously, like that back then. Roman soldiers wore sandals. They were issued by the Roman army, called caligae was the name of the sandals. And they were basically leather straps that would go over the foot with a leather sole underneath. And they were so designed in such a way as to make the 25-mile marches, which were commonplace for a day's march, to be good and easy. Not easy to march, but such that they wouldn't create blisters and sores on the feet. Your feet might be tired, but they're not going to be sore. And what makes them special, though? The rest of the ancient world basically wore sandals, too. The thing that made these shoes of the Roman army special and made them, I think, victorious in war was that on the bottom of them, these were the first shoes ever to really have cleats on them. They had little hobnails or metal studs that the soldier himself had to buy to attach to his shoes, and they would they'd be little cleats at the bottom of his foot to work in a similar way as a sports hero today, football, golf, baseball, would wear a sure-footed shoe in order that he might stand. And the Roman soldier, in wearing these cleated shoes called caligae, these sandals, was able then to be ensured that he would be sure-footed in a stand in a face-to-face combat with the enemy in an armed conflict. And this is really important, right? I was on my conference last week at the pastor's conference up in Daytona. And then since I don't really have TV at home, it's always a delight to me to actually see cable television. I'll sit there for hours and click through the stations. And I came across this fight in one of these Mortal Kombat type of things that they have on there. And there was a street fighter fighting a judo artist. And the street fighter was just taking this judo artist to pieces. But the announcer said, if that judo artist gets him onto the ground, that guy is history. And that's what happened in the fight. As soon as he was able to, the judo guy got him onto the ground, it was over. And he won the fight. And that's what's happening with you in your fight with the enemy forces in the heavenly places. We are called as Christians to stand and not fall and slip. And that's what he tries to do to you, to trip you up in your faith. And so the first thing we got to understand about these shoes of peace is that this equipment of the gospel of peace that God wants you to wear on your feet is so that you might be able to stand and not slip in the enemy engagements that he throws our way. So what does it mean then for you to stand in the gospel of peace? It means that you hear the gospel, you believe it, and you can't be wavered, tottered, or knocked off of that great podium on which to stand the gospel of peace by anything, or dissuade or led astray from it. And what is this gospel of peace? It is the message that you, as poor shoeless beggars, who were barefooted and under the dictatorship of the evil one, held captive by sin, have now been rescued through the champion of your souls, Jesus Christ. And as Paul says to Timothy in his first letter to him, says, the saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And 1 Peter 3, verse 18, for Christ also died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. And how did he do this? He took your sins upon himself, went to the cross to pay the penalty for your sins, and thereby win for you forgiveness and salvation. And this is the gospel of peace. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not because of works, lest any man should boast. And Ephesians 2 says, and Jesus came and preached peace to you who are far off and peace to those who are near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So I want to ask you right now, do you stand in this every day? You know, the devil's going to try to throw accusations and attacks and tricks against you to try to get you to to waver and fall over with this and say, well, maybe I'm not really saved. I haven't been a good enough person. But we have to look back to this gospel of peace, which says, I have a Savior, though, who has died for me to take away my sins and make me whole and new again. Are you wearing those today? Are you able to stand? For the devil also comes against us to try to lead us astray, to break ranks, if you will, to go AWOL, absent without leave, to use our feet to run away from him and desert our army and our post and this place in which we are to stand. And he tried to do this with the Galatians, didn't he? Tried to say, oh, you're saved by faith in Christ. Good start. Now, though, you'll really be saved if you keep the law and circumcision. Which Paul says in Galatians 5, if you rely on circumcision, you are severed from Christ. You have fallen away. And this is a theme that runs throughout the Bible. That we are, when we stand, we are standing before God. And we are standing against the devil. But falling, we fall away from him. Psalm 73 says, truly God is good to the upright, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had well nigh slipped. In Psalm 40, he says, he drew me up from the desolate pit, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. Are you steadfast? Are you able to stand today in this gospel? For great peace have those who love thy law. Nothing can make them stumble, it says in Psalm 119. But Jesus warns us to be careful. In Matthew chapter 13, he's talking about the latter days, our days, and the days before he comes. He says, and as for what was sown on rocky ground, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but he endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. Takes off those shoes of the gospel of peace. And Jesus says in Matthew 24, many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And Hebrews 3 says, take care, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. And it is possible to fall. And that should strike some fear into our hearts to make us really put on these shoes. Because it says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he says, this charge I commit to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophetic utterances which pointed to you, that inspired by them you may wage the good warfare, holding faith in a good conscience. By rejecting conscience, certain persons have made shipwreck of their faith, and among them Hymenaeus and Alexander. Here are two people. We don't really know who they are from Adam, except that they weren't Adam. But Hymenaeus and Alexander fell. They didn't wear those shoes. The enemy attacked them with some false doctrine, and down they went. Just like with a judo expert, if he can get you onto the ground to depart from the gospel of peace, in which you can stand strong against him in hand-to-hand combat, if he can get you to go off into some falsehood and truth, then get you onto the ground, he can get you to fall away. And the same guy is mentioned, I think, in 2 Timothy 2, says, and among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have swerved from the truth by holding that the resurrection is past already. And in 2 Timothy 4, we hear of Demas, who at one time in Paul's letters was praised by Paul as a fellow partner in the preaching. He says to Timothy, Paul says, do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. What a charge. Oh, may that never be said of us, O pilgrims, who are on the way, the truth, and the life, following the path to heaven, marching to Zion. May it never be said of us that we, through the devil's tricks, fell in love with the present world, went off to swell our feet with pride in such a way that, like a swollen foot doesn't fit into a shoe anymore, we should fall away from this thing that God wants us to put on our shoes, which is the equipment of the gospel of peace. And I'll bet you can think of times in your life when you've been tempted like this. I know I can. When I was on vicarage, hey, here I am surrounded by the Word of God, preaching the Word of God, doing the ministry, and yet I felt just attacked every day. Like, I wanted to go off and do something else with my life. Really. And it was, though, through remembering this gospel of peace that I stayed the course, and I'm therefore standing in this pulpit today. So how do you then stand, put these shoes on? Remember I said that the sandals are issued by the army, but the soldiers had to buy the cleats themselves? Well, the way I might allegorize that for us is, you have the gospel of peace, and you can stand before God in righteousness, and you can stand against the devil and all his tricks when you stand in them. But maybe what you need to do is invest yourself to know this gospel more and more, to buy cleats, if you will, through study and meditation upon these, that you really grip the ground. And when you're being faced with a combat and temptations in the evil day, as we'll all have tough times, then you can stand solid and steadfast, say, hey, I ain't going down. I'm not going down. You're going down. Because I'm going to stand because I've been well practiced in these things. I got cleats on my shoes. So what kinds of gospel scriptures have you memorized? If I were to ask you here, would you be able to recite some cleats, perhaps, that you have on the bottom of your shoes? Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, perhaps? For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. You know, just this week, some guy called me and was trying to, and I have good conversations with him, but he was saying we're justified by faith and works. And I had to really remember these cleats that I have in here to stand my ground in that kind of a combat, and for his benefit also. So we are to always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who calls you to account for the hope that is in you, says Paul. So the first thing that the sandals are for you, if you want to put these shoes on, what you got to do is really know the gospel of peace. Prepare yourself in it. Equip yourself in it so that you are ready when you are tempted, your conscience accuses you, or you're tempted to go astray from God's way, you are such solid ground. Because you've studied it. You're in it, and you know it. So the first thing I'd say today is the sandals are for stability. But secondly, I think they're not only for stability, but they are for mobility, right? You ever see a soldier just stand still? Wooden soldier? You know, what are we? Are we the frozen chosen? Are we supposed to be like Buckingham Palace? Hey, look at those Christians! Make big funny faces at him and try to get him to do something? No, we're not supposed to be like Buckingham Palace. I'm going to buck that trend right now. I'm going to say Christians have sandals to move, to go, to advance somewhere, right? That's what God gives us sandals for, not only to stand our ground and not yield it, but to advance with it. And it was said of Alexander the Great and Julius Caesar that their armies had success because of their footwear. Because of their ability to move fast. And General Patton in World War II said, battles are won by movement and fire. In other words, when the devil's out trying to do his wicked work in the world, everywhere he goes, he should see the Christians there ahead of him. Oh my goodness, these guys are fast. They're there ahead of me. And Jesus said to us, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Go. Now, that word in the Greek is erchamai. Can you say that? Erchamai. Go. If you look it up in the Greek and in the Hebrew, or in Latin or other things, go means go. There's no other translation. It means get out and share this message with other people. And it says we're to be ready to go with the gospel. Paul says, having shod your feet with the equipment of the gospel of peace. That word equipment is hetoimasia, which means readiness, preparedness, preparation. Are you prepared? When you have an opportunity to share Christ, are you ready with these shoes of peace? Ready to go at once, at a moment's notice, this way or that, to share the word? Well, Jesus said of the Passover, or it says of the Passover in the Old Testament, in this manner you shall eat it, your loins girded, your sandals on your feet. And your staff in your hand, you shall eat it in haste, for it's the Lord's Passover. Remember that scene? There, God appears to So Moses says, get your people ready. When they eat the Passover, you're leaving that night in great haste. You're running out of Egypt, out from under the hand of Pharaoh. And that's the way we're to be, with these sandals on our feet, ready to go at once. As Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher, once said, when God is feasting the Christian with present comforts, he must have this gospel shoe on. He must not sit down as if he were feasting at home, but stand and eat even as he takes a running meal in an inn on his way, willing to be gone as soon as ever he is a little refreshed for his journey. Ha, wish I could write like that. That's pretty. But you got to be ready at a moment's notice to go this way or that. Ready, prepared, equipped, with preparation to share this message as you go. And so advance the gospel. And so we come to LWML Sunday, Lutheran Women's Missionary League Sunday. Just had their convention last week. And Lutheran Women's Missionary League is all about going, right? Mission. As it says in Isaiah 52, how beautiful upon the mountains are the, what? Feet of those who bring good tidings, who publishes peace, who bring good tidings of good, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. You know that angels could look down on you and say, oh, aren't their feet gorgeous? When you publish peace and proclaim that to other people. And you know it's absolutely necessary. They do their job and we do ours. Romans 10 says, for everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are men to call upon him in whom they've not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without a preacher? And how can men preach unless they are sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news. So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes by the preaching of Christ. Do you know, if you're not wearing those shoes, and you're standing like a Buckingham Palace brat, well, they're good guys, okay. But if you're standing there like a solid statue, nobody's going to hear, and they're not going to be saved. And if they're not saved, they're going to go to hell and damnation. So for the love of God, we ought to follow what the Missionary League, Lutheran Women's Missionary League says, is to go as if Jesus commanded us to go. And that's why I'd like to challenge you today. In our denomination, Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we adopted in 2005 a movement called Ablaze. And that is to reach a resolution to reach 100 million people, unreached people, with the gospel by 2017, which is the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, when Luther nailed the theses to the church door in Wittenberg. Do you think we can do that? This is a goal that's set out there by our denomination. Whether or not we reach it, the aim is to get us out and preaching. And so in response to that, I'd like to challenge you today with a number. Not because numbers are important, but to encourage us to go forward, I'd like to say that by the next Lutheran Women's Missionary League, first Sunday in October next year, that we, as a congregation, should share the gospel with 1,000 people who have either not heard it or are uncommitted to it. Think that's possible? 1,000? And toward that end, I got these bracelets for you this week, which I'll get you during the offering. And this is a beautiful way to share the gospel with someone. They'll say, hey, what's that bracelet about? Or you can just bring it up and say, "And this shows me what my salvation is like." And you know, I put this bracelet on Thursday afternoon, right, Vivian? About what, 12 or 1 o'clock? By 5 o'clock, I'd already used it to share the gospel with somebody, a little boy. And it says, you start here with sin. It shows me my sins have separated me from God. It leads to death, which is black. And it says on here, blood. It tells me with the red one that God loves me and sent his son to be my savior to shed his blood for me. The blue says faith. I receive this salvation by faith alone in Christ. The white shows me that when I believe in him, I'm forgiven my sins and am made whiter than snow. Green shows that once I'm forgiven, I grow in Christ through the study of his word. And one day that'll lead me to the yellow or the gold, which is heaven. Yeah, you can just go right around the bracelet piece of cake. And I did that this week, and it was a beautiful thing. It's very easy. And they're also kind of colorful, stylish, you know. Another little added benefit is when I'm driving home, I just happen to look down at it, and I see a different word, and it reminds me of something beautiful about my faith, and reminds me as I go about how gracious the Lord has been to me. So, are you shod with the equipment of the gospel of peace on your feet, or are you shoddy? That's my question. Put feet to your words and words on your feet. 1,000 people by next year, for we are ambassadors for Christ, Paul says, God making his appeal through us. And then thirdly and lastly, these sandals are not only for stability and mobility, but I'll tell you, for invincibility. For a lot of times you have this view of Christians, or of us as holding up in our castle, defending the castle walls, not letting the devil come and prevail against us. But what did Jesus say about that? Matthew 16, he says, "And I tell you, Peter, on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Let me ask you this question. On the field of battle, you ever seen gates advancing on anybody? Walls? Yeah, no, walls don't really go for offense, do they? Walls are for defense. It's showing us here that the gates of hell will not prevail against the oncoming onslaught of the church with the gospel of peace. Amen? This is what we are. Christians are on the move. Offensive, not defensive. We're not trying to just protect our little patch of ground. We're trying to take the earth for Christ so that they might be saved and come into the love of God with us. That's why Jesus sent out the 70 with, or the 12 2x2 with sandals on their feet. And Jesus says, "Behold, I've given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions." Those cleats on those shoes of the Roman soldiers were also for trampling the enemy. Just imagine, 10 rows deep, a Roman unit passes over you on the ground who have tripped and fallen. You're not going to get up again. Well, these cleats on the bottom of our shoes trample the spirits, as Jesus said, as the disciples said to Jesus, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And Jesus said, "I've given you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, the spirits are subject to you, but that your names are written in heaven. For though we live in the world, we're not carrying on a worldly war. For the weapons of our warfare are not worldly, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every proud obstacle to the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. For the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power." And therefore we can say, as did Pilgrim's Progress and John Bunyan, he was walking on the road, and I'm about to conclude here, so listen up. He's walking on the road to heaven, and here's Pilgrim, and he meets the much more powerful Apollyon, which means destroyer, the angel, the devil, and he meets him on the road. And therefore, when Christian was wearing these shoes, he could say to Apollyon, "I am the king's messenger, and am on the king's highway, and therefore, Apollyon, take heed to thyself." In other words, enemy, look to your defenses indeed, and stand aside, for here comes a king's messenger. That's what I want you to be. Therefore, I conclude with these words from Jude chapter 24, the blessing that you may be able to stand in this and go forward both with stability, mobility, and invincibility. Jude said this, "Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you without blemish before the presence of his glory with rejoicing, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen."
Thank you for listening to this week's message called The Shoes of the Christian Soldier, a broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Pastor Greg Lassier, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week, and our Lord Jesus, the great captain of our souls, and God bless you.